This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
The book is Reclaiming History, The Assassination of President John F. Kennedy. The best-selling author Vincent Bugliosi joins us live on the line. Good afternoon, sir.
Happy to be on the show, sir. Fine interviewer.
Well, thank you so much.
I've heard about you, and I'm looking forward to the interview.
Well, thank you very, very much. I really appreciate it. And just so folks know, you're a best-selling true crime author. Your other books include Helter Skelter, the best-selling true crime story of in publishing history, Outrage about the acquittal of O.J. Simpson. And you have turned your talents to The Assassination of John F. Kennedy. It is a formidable book at over 1,600 pages, which includes a CD-ROM of footnotes and notes that goes to hundreds of pages more. Why The Assassination of John F. Kennedy? What was going on in your life when you knew that this is a book that you're going to tackle? And if I'm not mistaken, it took you 20 years to write.
Yeah, I've been working on it for 20 years. The Helter Skelter thing you may have mentioned to the people, and maybe you did. It was based on the Manson case, which I prosecuted, of course. In 1986, London Weekend Television, Coy, asked me to, quote, prosecute Oswald for the assassination. And my first impression was, no, I'm not interested, because I had been asked a couple times to appear on TV in artificial courtroom settings, and I wasn't interested. But they said, wait a while, this is totally and completely different, and indeed it was. What they were contemplating was the closest thing to a real trial of Oswald that he would ever have. In fact, Time magazine said that. They had found had agreed to testify the original Warren Commission witnesses. They had Jerry Spence lined up to defend Oswald. You know about Jerry Spence. He's a well-known lawyer from Wyoming. And a regular judge, regular federal jury. And part of the main thing is they said, Mr. Bugliosi, we know about your love affair with your yellow pad. There's not going to be any script. Your yellow pad's going to be the script. Now, that was very, very important to me. And we had 5 months to work on it. And Spence will tell you that he and I prepared this case with the same diligence as any other murder case in our respective careers. And they showed it over here only about 5 hours in 1986 on Showtime, but it was shown 7, 8, 9, and 10 hours in Europe. And we were in trial for 21 hours in the the verdict came back from the Dallas jury guilty against Oswald. During my preparation for that trial, I discovered two things. One, the conspiracy theorists had been alleging that the Warren Commission was biased, that they had distorted the evidence and suppressed the truth of the American people, and I found out that it was they who were guilty of these precise things. I also found that these conspiracy theories, at first blush, some of them may be palatable to one's intellect, but upon the weakest of scrutiny, they do complete violence to all conventional notions of logic and common sense. And yet I knew that at that time in 86 and even today, the vast majority of American people have bought into this nonsense, believing there's a conspiracy. So it was at this point that I decided to do a book. That was in 86, and I've been working on it, not exclusively, but every day I did some work on it. In the last 7 years, 70, 80, 90, 100 hours a week, 7 days a week, I've been working on Reclaiming History. I've had three other books that got up to number one on the New York Times bestseller list, but I'm going to be candid with you. This book unquestionably is my so-called magnum opus, the book of my career. The Kennedy assassination clearly is the most important murder in American history, arguably altered the course of history. Well, just for example, I don't think we would have had the Vietnam War if Kennedy had lived. And I worked on it for over 20 years, put the best into it that I had that I've learned as a criminal prosecutor and a writer of true crime books into the book. I can't do any better. It's the best that I can do. And I think this is why Tom Hanks and his people are going to be doing a 10-hour miniseries for HBO on the book. So it's the best that I can do. It, in my opinion, and the opinion of many, many people who have read this book, it settles all questions about the Kennedy assassination once and for all.
My guest is Vincent Bugliosi. His new book is Reclaiming History, The Assassination of President John F. Kennedy. It is the definitive work on this terrible historic murder. And there is a website, folks. You can check it out and learn more online at reclaiminghistory.com. Vincent, before we get into some of the specifics of the conspiracy theorists,
right,
what do you think it is? Why are these theories so powerful still today?
Well, you got to realize that John Kennedy was greatly beloved. In fact, it was said that more people mourned his death than any other human figure in history. The only country that did not mourn his death was China. But even even Russia and the satellite countries, during the height of the Cold War, there was enormous grief all over the world. And I guess these conspiracy theories, in one way or another, are a way to hang on to him. They do not want to let go. Everyone liked, when I say everyone, I'm exaggerating, but really, most people, even those who voted against him, liked John F. Kennedy. Bobby, the brother, a lot of people loved him, but a lot did not like him. They called him ruthless, but they liked John F. Kennedy. And here's a guy who was captivating a world audience with his wit, his charm, his intelligence. He was young, he had a youthful appearance, beautiful wife, glorious Friday morning. He's driving down the street smiling. And he was viewed as something akin to a king. Oswald is viewed as something akin to a peasant. And all of a sudden, it's all over with. And people just instinctively, it's not based on logic, said, no, something more has to be involved here. They just could not accept. It was just incongruous that someone that powerful could be struck down in a second. And, of course, bullets, Coy, as you know, are very democratic, and they kill or injure whomever they hit, and it doesn't take someone important to pull that trigger. But there are many, many reasons why people have clung to the conspiracy theory in this case. I've just touched on a couple of them. And one, of course, is that that's all we've heard for close to 44 years. You know, next Thursday is the 44th anniversary of the assassination.
Right, right.
And book after book, radio and TV talk show, television movie, Oliver Stone's movie was just one continuous lie. Well, he did have the correct city and date and victim, right? But one continuous lie, college lectures, and this steady drumbeat from the conspiracy theorists penetrated the consciousness of the American people, and they succeeded in convincing 75% of the American people that there was a conspiracy, and they've rejected the findings of the Warren Commission. So this book sets the record straight. The reviews have been phenomenal from all over the country. L.A. Times said it is a book for the ages. Philadelphia Inquirer says 100 years from now, when historians want to find out what happened, they'll read Reclaiming History. Scott Turow, you've heard of him, of course.
Sure, sure.
Said that centuries from now, people would be reading Reclaiming History. And I'm confident that that Tom Hanks and his people, talking about the 10-hour miniseries he's going to be doing for HBO on the book, I'm confident that they're going to do a good job. And he feels that the 10 hours with the book are going to shake the country up. And we're pretty confident that if we can't reverse those numbers, we can make a substantial dent in that 75%.
Best-selling author Vincent Bugliosi is my guest. His new book is Reclaiming History, The Assassination of President John F. Kennedy. Surely you can be sympathetic, though, to a lot of the folks who, a lot of Americans who believe, and I believe it's the truth, that there are powerful people who commit crimes all the time and never get caught.
Well, of course. Yeah. No, I'm not. It's just that this is not one of those situations. There is no credible evidence, none, that the CIA or mob or any of these other groups were behind the assassination. All there is wild speculation. I told the jury in London, I said, you know, folks, I said, three people can keep a secret, but only if two are dead. And here now, we're close to 44 years later, and not one word, not one syllable has leaked out, no credible word or syllables leaked out that there was an assassination, a conspiracy. And the reason is that there was nothing to leak out. Also, the FBI, they checked every breath that Oswald ever breathed from the moment he arrived back from the Soviet Union into the United States on, it was June 13th, 1962. From that date up to the date of the assassination, they found no evidence whatsoever, Coy, that he had any association with any of these groups believed to be behind the assassination. Even if one of these groups wanted to kill Kennedy, and I find that almost preposterous on his face, although in my book, this is the only book on the assassination that's ever discussed all of these conspiracy theories and knocked them down, and I have separate chapters on them. But I find it almost incredible that the CIA or the mob would sit around a table and say, let's kill the President of the United States. But if they did, Oswald would be one of the last people on the face of this earth whom they would go to, because he was not an expert shot. He was a good shot. He was a sharpshooter. He was not an expert. He had a $12 mail order rifle. He was extremely unstable, Coy. I mean, here's a guy who defects to the Soviet Union pre-Gorbachev. I mean, even today, who in the world defects to the Soviet Union? He gets over there and wants to become a Soviet citizen very badly. They reject his request. What does he do? He tries to commit suicide by slashing his wrists. Just the type of guy, and I'm being sarcastic here, but just the type of guy that the CIA or mob would want to rely upon to commit the biggest murder in American history. Taking it to this fourth step, and the reason I'm able to break it down to four steps, Time magazine had me do that a couple months ago, so I had to condense it. Assuming, again, just for the sake of argument, that one of these groups wanted to kill Kennedy and Oswald agreed to be the hitman for them, let's see if where that takes us makes any sense. After Oswald shot Kennedy and left the book depository building, if the CIA or mob had been behind it, or the KGB or Castro or what have you, the military-industrial complex, you have to know, Coy, you have to know there had been a car waiting for him to drive him to his death. And instead, we know that Oswald's out on the street with $13 in his pocket.
He went walking around,
trying to flag down a bus and a cab. I mean, even the presidential motorcade that took the limousine right below the sixth-floor window, that wasn't even determined, that route, until November 18th, 4 days before the assassination. Who can believe that the military-industrial complex or the CIA or what have you would conspire with Oswald to kill Kennedy within 4 days of the president's visit to Dallas? It's really silly. In my book, I set forth 32 separate reasons pointing against a conspiracy. I set forth 53 separate pieces of evidence pointing irresistibly to Oswald's guilt. And there, any question that anyone could possibly have about the assassination, the answer is somewhere in this book, either in the 1,600 pages or the CD of another 1,000 pages, plus the answers to hundreds of other questions that the average person wouldn't even dream of. And what I'm finding, because I'm getting letters from people that at one time believed in a conspiracy, and they read the book, and they're embarrassed. And I'll just read you one here, because this was not a statement to me, but Gary Getzman is a partner of Tom Hanks, and he told a Variety, he says, I totally believe there was a conspiracy in the assassination, but after you read Reclaiming History, you are almost embarrassed that you ever believed it. To think that guys who grew up in the 60s would make a miniseries supporting the idea that Oswald acted alone is something I certainly wouldn't have predicted, but evidence can change the way we view things. So it's an important book, the book of my career, and I'm proud of it.
It is an historic book, Reclaiming History. Author Vincent Bugliosi, best-selling true crime author. His other books include Helter Skelter, about the Tate LaBianca murders by Charles Manson and his family, and Outrage, about the acquittal of O.J. Simpson. Phone lines are open at 977-1070. Milo's been waiting patiently on the line. Milo, you're on with Vincent Bugliosi. Go right ahead.
Hello, sir. I have a question for you concerning Oswald. I just heard recently that it was what was the ex-KGB or Soviet source that denied he had anything to do with it? It just came out recently. Do you know about that?
Just recently, no. No, I'm on to another book, but many of the Soviet sources have denied it. Now, he did, when he was down in Mexico City seeking a in-transit visa to Cuba, they told him, he said he was going to Russia, but he wanted an in-transit visa to Cuba. He was not going to go back to Russia. He wanted to go to Cuba, but they said, well, if you want an in-transit visa, you're going to have to go over to the Russian embassy. So he went over there, and he met with a guy by the name of Kostikov, who was a KGB agent. Most of the Russian embassies around the world were the KGB were the main employees at the agency. So he met Kostikov, and all of the people there, not just Kostikov, they realized what a nut he was. And the Soviet Union has always said that, look, we didn't have anything to do with this guy. We were glad when he left Russia. They didn't even want him over there. The notion that Russia would be behind the assassination is preposterous on his face. Khrushchev was trying to make peace with Kennedy. He was not trying to kill him. And whatever you think of the communist philosophy and everything, these are practical people. They'd have no reason to kill Kennedy. What conceivable reason would they have for believing that his successor would be any better than Kennedy? And they got along pretty well with Kennedy, and they mourned his death very, very much in Moscow. So there's no evidence that Russia was behind the assassination. Plus, if they were going to get a hitman, and again, it's preposterous on its face, if they were going to get a hitman, they would try to distance themselves as much as possible from that hitman. They certainly wouldn't get someone who had defected to the Soviet Union, because immediately the suspicion would be on that person and the KGB. The KGB was following him around Russia, by the way. They didn't know what he was. They didn't know if he was a plant by the CIA, so they were following him around.
Milo, thanks so much for the call. Vincent Bugliosi is my guest. The book is Reclaiming History. Let me ask you, a lot of the conspiracy theorists make something out of the fact that they say that when Kennedy was shot, you can see it in the film, that he actually goes back instead of going forward.
Yeah, that was a pirated Zapruder film that was shown in 1975 on Good Night America. Millions saw it, and it was a talk over the water cooler the following morning. And many conspiracy theorists, many of them have turned into fraudulent practices, but at this point, I think that particular thing genuinely convinced millions of Americans that there must have been a conspiracy, because when you see the head snap to the rear on the film, you draw the inference, which is a natural inference, that the shot must have come from the right front where the grassy knoll was, and that the grassy knoll is where the conspiracy theorists claim the hitman was, not from the rear where Oswald was believed to be at the book depository building. And in London, Jerry Spent showed that segment of the Zapruder films, I think, five times, and I didn't object. And he said it looked like the president was struck in the front of his forehead by a bat swung by Babe Ruth. And he said, Mr. Bugliosi is trying to convince you folks that what you saw with your very own eyes, you never saw. Now, if I didn't have an answer to that in London, I think almost assuredly the verdict would have been not guilty. But here's the answer. The answer is that if you look at the individual frames of the Zapruder film, you can't see it by looking at the film. You cannot see it. You have to look at the individual frames, which I put up on the screen for the jury in London. At frame 312, the president's head is okay, and I have these frames in Reclaiming History. They're in no other book for some strange reason. They're in volume 18 of the Warren Commission volumes, but they're in no other of the close to 1,000 books out on the case. At 312, his head's okay. At 313, 1/18th of a second later, there was 18.3 frames per second on the Zapruder film, you see the explosion to the president's head. He was struck at frame 313. And in what direction is the president's head pushed at frame 313? It was pushed slightly forward, 2.3 inches, indicating what? A shot from the rear, not from the front where the grassy knoll was. So at the all-important moment of impact, the president's head was pushed slightly forward, and I put that on the screen for the jury in London. And then at frames 314 to 321, you see the head snap to the rear 8 inches. It was called by the pathologist a neuromuscular reaction, nerve damage to the president's brain caused by the bullet entering the brain caused his back muscles to tighten, which in turn caused his head to snap to the rear. But if you don't look at the individual frames, which are very clearly set forth in Reclaiming History, you would think that, yeah, the shot must have come from the front. And if it came from the front, we're talking about a conspiracy, because everyone had already determined that three cartridge cases were found below the sniper's nest window on the sixth floor. Those were the bullets that came from the cartridge cases that came from Oswald's rifle. So if there was a fourth shot from the grassy knoll, by definition, that means a conspiracy.
Vincent Bugliosi, best-selling true crime author. His new book is Reclaiming History, the definitive new book about the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. It is such an honor to talk to you. And before I let you go, we've only got a couple of minutes left, but
yeah,
I want to ask you, regarding your prosecution of Charles Manson, and
right,
one of the best-selling true crime book of all time was Helter Skelter. Charles Manson has become sort of an icon of evil, like Hitler,
right,
sort of stripped of his, dangerously, I would say, stripped of his humanity.
Right.
What is it you think that most of us don't know about him?
Well, I think most people know he's a very evil, sophisticated con man, but believe it or not, he's got a lot of young kids that write to him. In fact, the L.A. Times a couple years ago said that Manson gets more mail than any other inmate in the history of the U.S. prison system. These are young kids, Coy. They're rebellious, and they look upon Manson as being an anti-authority figure, and they don't really realize that he placed no value on human life. He would have murdered as many people as he could have. As you know, he was convicted of 9 murders, believed to be behind 35 murders, and he told Geraldo Rivera years ago, he said he'd like to stack up 50 million dead bodies on top of each other. So young kids look upon him as something akin to a, who's the guy that steals from the rich? And
Robin Hood.
Yeah, it's almost kind of a Robin Hood figure, iconic. Something romantic about him. But I think adults know what an evil person he is. Now, why are they still interested? Not that they don't know who he is. I think the Manson case probably is the most bizarre mass murder case in the recorded annals of American crime. And for whatever reason, people are fascinated by things that are strange and bizarre. And then also, you've already touched upon something here about he's become iconic in the world of evil. Evil, for whatever reason, has its allure. Witness, like you mentioned, Hitler, Jack the Ripper, Charles Manson. And Manson has become kind of a metaphor for evil. You hear his name in so many different contexts, on radio and TV and in the paper. I'll just give you one, but there's been many, 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 many more.
Real quick.
Tyson is trying to get his license back a couple years ago in front of the Las Vegas Boxing Commission. He says, I'm a bad guy, but I'm no Charles Manson. You know, you hear that type of thing over and over again.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it's a combination of bizarreness and the people have a fascination with evil.
Vincent Bugliosi, the new book is Reclaiming History. A great honor to talk to you. Thanks so much for joining
us. Honor to talk to you, Coy. Thank you so much, sir.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.